This morning I'd like to focus a little bit on the kingdom of heaven. One thing that Brother Jonathan shared in devotions this morning, he shared a lot out of the book of Matthew, and the kingdom of heaven is only referenced in the book of Matthew, and it's about 30 times. But when Jesus told his disciples to pray that the Lord of harvest would send forth laborers into his vineyard there, he, on the very next chapter, he took those very people that were praying and he sent them, the ones that he told to pray. He sent them. And I believe the kingdom of heaven is something that is very, very personal. And we can say what we think it is, but we have to have context. And context is so important. Context with Scripture is very important. It's important in a lot of things. I could tell you a story this week that this past week, one of our good dogs died. Marcia cried and I laughed. And I like my dogs. But last Saturday morning, we were away from home for breakfast, and this dog decided to lay down behind a car. And when somebody backed up, he backed over the dog. And when I got the word that there was a problem, I thought that there was a child. And both my wife and daughter were just so upset, and I went down there fully expecting to see the rolled up body of a child. And when I saw the dog, I laughed. I felt like it. It was such a huge relief. And so, yeah, context is terribly important. And so when we read the scripture, context is terribly important to get the message right. And it may not be, and it could well be a matter of life or death for us there to get the context right. All right, so the kingdom of heaven is this. Jesus started by saying in Matthew 3, the kingdom of heaven is like, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I would like to focus our attention this morning primarily on Matthew chapter 20, where he talks about the vineyard, where he talks about the laborers in the vineyard. And this concept of the kingdom of heaven, like any good literature, has a lot of layers. And you can dig, and you can dig, and you can dig. And you can gain new truths and new ideas and new things. But it's like somebody shared this morning in our Sunday school lesson that we have to keep the big picture in sight. And when Jesus was there with Lazarus and at the tomb of Lazarus and comforting Mary and Martha, it wasn't about their personal comfort, but it was about the glory of God that was all important. Last Sunday morning, we had such a beautiful service. Brother Tim shared with us a lot of inspirational thoughts on the Beatitudes. And then Sam shared with us on the bread of life. It was a tremendous inspiration to me to hear those. And Jesus, when the gospel opens, in Matthew 3, we have John the Baptist saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, when he began his ministry, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the very next chapter. And then the Sermon on the Mount references this at different times. And the first beatitude is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And there's no other, this phrase I don't believe is found in any of the other Gospels. It's simply in Matthew. but it's many, many times over. And then there's some really important things here. In Matthew 5, he mentions it in verse 10 and verse 19 and verse 20, verse 21. All of these are there. Might return to those a little bit later. But I'd like to look at Matthew 8:11. This is what it says. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. And Jesus often spoke in parables. Matthew 13 has lots and lots of parables where he talks about the kingdom of heaven. But I'd like for us to turn now to chapter 20 of Matthew. I'd like to read. I'm sorry, it's not Matthew 20, it's... Yes, it is Matthew 20. I'd like to read the first part. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. And he saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of that vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first was come, they supposed that they should have received more. They likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto thee this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. In this scripture, we show, we have a glimpse of how what God values. Now, the important thing for followers of Jesus is to become more like Jesus. That's going to be our progress. That's going to be our report card. That's going to be the thing that matters to us, is not how well we do in certain subjects and certain ideas and so on, but it's going to be on how we become more like Jesus. And one of those things is adopting his sense of values. And he shows clearly that his sense of values is not like the general. We here in America are very, very ownership oriented. We own our land, we own our cars, we own a lot of things which we have titles to that says that we are the owner. The people that were here before us said that you couldn't own land. It was for everybody, just like you, you know. Interestingly enough, we don't have titles for the most important things to us, and that's right here, the air that we breathe, or the water that we drink, or the sunshine that we receive. Those are important to life, and yet there's no way to make somebody an owner of that, so we don't do that. But the land that we walk on, we try to divide our ownership there. But Jesus didn't have that concept. And I'm not saying that that's all wrong, but I'm saying that there is something in context that we need to look at. The most important things that we need, we do not own. Well, Jesus is showing here But we do have a sense of fairness. Even the youngsters have a sense of fairness. If after church I give some of the children a half a lifesaver and some of them a whole lifesaver, they'll say, that's not fair. Well, I don't know. Maybe our concept is wrong, isn't it? You know, because who deserves it? Well, they all do, because they're actually that age. But, you know, that's the kind of thinking that we get by default. We have a sense of fairness. And it's no different than what it was in Jesus' time. Here he has people that were in the vineyard. They were all hired. They came at certain different times of the day. Some were there early in the morning, and they worked all day. And they bore the burden in the heat of the day. You know, and then some came later. And some came later yet. I had to think about when we used to have more frolics. We don't have as many as we used to, but sometimes there would be those you could depend on to be there at the very first thing in the morning. Some later. Some came just before dinner. That was a handy time to come. And then some later on. But, you know, that's really immaterial. What Jesus is saying is that these people came, they worked all day, and then at the end of the day, they were paid their wages. And there is where the strange values come in, because those that worked there just an hour, they were paid first, and they got the same pay that those that were there all day and worked. Now, I suppose that those of us that have grown up in Christian homes and Christian environment and had heard the gospel before we can remember, we might be tempted to think that we are the ones that labored long in the vineyard. Maybe we think we worked the whole day through, because all of our life, this is it. I'd like to say that probably all of us sitting here this morning are the ones that came in at the very last hour. And that's reference to the point where Jesus said, the verse that I read earlier, many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down in the kingdom of heaven and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. You know, God had his people through time. The children of Israel were there, and some of them were faithful, many were not. But God used them to provide a means for a Savior to the world that came in the due process of time. And in that process of time, he came, he lived and died and rose again, the story that we're familiar with. And yet, even there, Gentiles were not welcomed. They were not. There were some that were, but by and large, the gospel was not open to the Gentiles until after the day of Pentecost, when Peter went to Cornelius' house, and we know that story as well. But today, we're all recipients of the gospel, because it was opened to people that were not God's people at one time. And so we have the privilege of sitting down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God today. And it's a tremendous blessing. But going back again to the workers in the vineyard, here Jesus was telling this story, and stories tell the value that he has. And everyone was valued, whether he worked the last hour, whether he came the third hour, whether he came whatever hour it was. There was one requirement, and that was that they go when they're called and they work to the end, that they're faithful. Those that quit early probably weren't here. But those that were there, those that were faithful, were there at the end of the day. And they're the ones that received the blessing and the pay. And it's that way for us today, too. You know, there's some of us that have been called early, and we need to be faithful. We need to continue His work. We need to continue the mission that He has given us, and that is to do His work. There's some that may not spend much time in that because of their life, but He gives all the same. Well, it's just, I don't think the lesson here is equality. I think the lesson here is faithfulness. And I believe that He shows us how clearly that, how important that is. Now if we would turn to Hebrews chapter 11, we have this scripture as we commonly know this as a faith chapter, or the heroes of faith. And it goes, and it lists just a number of people that are listed in the heroes of faith. People, men of old, of Moses and of Noah and Joseph. People that served the Lord in very tough circumstances, but were faithful to Him. And then after He lists a number of those, he concludes, He starts a conclusion in verse 32. And I'd like to read that to the end of the chapter. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, I just have to marvel when I read this and I think about the fact that these Old Testament saints, these people that were listed here, this writer of Hebrews is actually saying that the church that is living there and down through us today are intertwined in such a way that those people are not made complete without us today. There's never been a time when the Christians have had it easier in the history of the world than what we do as American Christians today. We have all the multiple resources when it comes to money, books, Bibles, fellowship. We have a lot of things. And yet, here it says, if we're faithful and if we're men of faith, that we actually have something to offer, something to complete those saints that have gone before. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that show that faithfulness to Christ is going to be the most important thing? That we're there, whether we're hired at the first part of the day or the last part of the day, just that we're faithful? It's just amazing to realize that the kingdom of heaven is made up of such a diverse multitude. And that we can be a part of that great multitude that have been faithful to the Lord all those years. Again, I would say the thing that we have to look at, the report card that we are getting, is if we're becoming more like Christ. And there's so many ways that we can check ourselves on that. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, or in Matthew 5, verses 19 and 20 and 21, he says, "Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Skipping two chapters into the next verse here, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." You know, our concept of the kingdom of heaven is going to be revealed more by what we do than what we say. "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus spoke in parables many times to speak truth to those that were open and hungry, but to veil it, to veil that same truth to those that were going to reject him and those that turned away from him and so on. We have that story in our Sunday school lesson this morning about Lazarus being raised from the dead and how some of the people believed on him, but many others did not. And the Pharisees eventually were wanting to question whether they should put Lazarus to death. Somebody said, "Well, what could scare Lazarus after Jesus raised him from the dead? Was it possible to frighten him again?" Hardly, really. And Jesus talks about a lot of different things, about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And in the Sermon on the Mount again, he says that his people are like salt. His people are like light. They're both a seasoning and a direction to show people unto God, the way to God. And I believe that that goes on today. I said earlier that Jesus, when he told the disciples to pray, like Brother Jonathan was sharing this morning, about to pray that the Lord of harvest would send forth laborers. And then the very next chapter, the 12 were sent out, and he told them, "As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know, the time to have a relationship with God is now. And the time to understand His timing is now. Matthew 13, there's just parable after parable saying the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, it's like seed, it's like it's like a treasure, it's like a merchant man, it's like a net. All of these things have meanings that are, when we understand the context, we can understand what he's saying. Another important part here in Matthew 18 says that the kingdom of heaven is like a child, in the sense that there is humility, that there's not a sense it's a sense of dependence for a child. And Jesus said that if we don't have that, we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so this is a big subject in the life of Christ. But he tells us that as we become more like him, our understanding will be enlightened as well. He warns us as well. Matthew 19:14 says, "But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come to me, for if such is the kingdom of heaven." And just a little bit later, he says, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." At one point, the disciples were saying, they were telling the mothers to take their children away, don't bother him. And on the other hand, they were looking at the rich man saying, this person is really blessed, he's really a part, he's really, really got it together. So they were saying, this man is truly in the kingdom, and these youngsters are not. Jesus was completely changing that around, and he was saying that unless we become as little children, we are not a part of the kingdom. And then he was saying, you know, it's going to be really difficult for these people. So it's a warning to us that if we think we have it all together, and we think we know it all, we might have a lot more to learn than we realize. But if our dependence is on Christ, if our attitude is to be more like him, I believe that's where our scoring comes in. That's where it's going to count. Jesus wants us to be like him, and he's given us the opportunity and the privilege to follow his steps. When he called his disciples at the beginning and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," it was more than just a surface statement saying, "Follow me for the next 3 years and you'll learn a few things." It was, he was giving to them the commission to spread the gospel of the good news of salvation to the world. And we know that the church had tremendous power after Jesus' resurrection, after the Holy Spirit came into their lives. The church had tremendous power. And those words, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," became true in every sense of the word. And the church grew and multiplied. We're Christ that we're following today is the same Lord. He has the same power as we give our lives to him. Let's make that, be men of faith, be men of courage, people of strength that show the way to Christ. Be the salt and light that the world needs. And be faithful to the end of day. And realize that the Lord, how he rewards is his doings, and it's right, no matter what comes.